Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're jumping into something that might seem a bit abstract at first glance, but it's actually key to understanding a lot of real-world stuff. We're asking, what makes a complex system tick along predictably or, you know, suddenly just explode?
Yeah, that's the core tension.
Our main source today is a really interesting paper. It's from Nonlinearity. It just came out in 2025. It's called Global Solution for Superlinear Stochastic Heat Equation on ORD Under Osgood-type conditions.
Quite a title.
It is. By Le Chen, Mohamed Funden, Jingyu Huang, and Michael Salins. We'll also touch on some related work.
And our mission, really, for this deep dive is to give you a good overview, unpack the really fascinating behavior of these things called stochastic heat equations, or SHEs for short. Think of them like models for how stuff spreads like heat, for example. But, and this is the key part, with randomness baked in.
Randomness.
Well, exactly. And the big question is, when do these systems stay stable forever, what we call global solutions, and when do they just blow up, go infinite in a finite time?
Right.
And you might ask, why should you care? Well, getting these dynamics right is pretty fundamental for modeling tons of things. Physics, finance, how pollution spreads, you name it.
Okay, so stability versus explosion. Let's get into the weeds a bit. This stochastic heat equation, the SHE, what exactly is it, especially on this ORD lit, this unbounded space?
Right. ORD just means it's happening everywhere, not in a confined box. So imagine your standard heat equation, maybe from physics class.
Vaguely. Heat spreads out, right?
Exactly. That's diffusion. That's one piece, the heat operator. It smooths things out. Then you've got a drift term that's like internal reactions. Is something growing on its own, decaying.
Like a chemical reaction happening.
Precisely. Or population growth. And then the third piece, the diffusion coefficient, this part interacts with the randomness, the noise.
Ah, the stochastic part.
That's it. And when we talk about superlinear growth for that drift and diffusion, it means they grow fast. Faster than just a straight line.
And that's the danger zone for a blow up.
That's where the potential comes from, yeah. The noise itself is usually this centered Gaussian noise, which means it's completely random moment to moment that's white in time.
Okay.
But its randomness across space can be linked, correlated, that's colored in space, so it's not completely chaotic spatially.
Okay, that helps. So practically speaking, this difference between a global solution and blow up, what does it look like?
A global solution basically means the system stays well-behaved, finite, for all time. Think of, I don't know, a river. It might get high, low, turbulent, but it stays within its banks, essentially.
Okay.
Mathematically, they track this with something called the Veit norm. It's a way to measure both the highest peaks and the sort of average level across the whole space. If that stays finite forever, global solution, stable.
And blow up.
Blow up means, well, it explodes. With some positive probability, the value goes to infinity at some specific point in time, like a runaway chain reaction, finite time, boom.
So it's like a tipping point.
Exactly. You push it too far and it just goes unstable.
Sounds like we need a way to predict that tipping point.
Yep.
You mentioned the Osgood condition earlier.
Yeah.
Is that the tool? Where's it from?
It is a key tool. And yeah, it's got this surprisingly long history. It goes all the way back to 1898 from deterministic ODEs, ordinary differential equations.
Simpler systems.
Much simpler, just one variable changing over time. And for those, the Osgood condition, basically checking if an integral involving the growth function is finite or infinite, it tells you exactly whether you get explosion or not. Super elegant.
Wow, an exact test. So does that just work for these SHEs too? Problem solved.
Ah, well, that's the catch. It's not quite that simple. For deterministic partial differential equations, PDEs, where things change in space and time, the Osgood condition isn't the whole story.
Oh.
Yeah, Fujita showed this back in 66. Space adds complexity. Things can spread out, diffuse, it changes the game.
So it's trickier for SHEs.
It is. But the Osgood idea is still really important. People have studied it. For SEs in a bounded space, like a container, if the drift term grows too fast, satisfies that finite Osgood condition, and the noise part is okay, then yeah, solutions do tend to explode. Kind of like the ODE case.
Okay, thanks, sis.
But like the paper we're looking at focuses on, for SHEs on unbounded space, on RDED, it's more complicated. Solutions can sort of drift off to infinity spatially without actually blowing up at a single point in finite time. Diffusion plays a bigger role.
So the infinite space makes a difference. What about the noise itself? How do they pin down its properties? You mentioned colored in space.
Right. The spatial structure of the noise is critical. There are conditions, like DeLange's condition, that people use. They relate to the noise's correlation in frequency space. It's Fourier transform. These ensure solutions even exist and are unique.
Right.
What's neat in this paper is they actually use a slightly weaker condition on the noise, assumption 1.1, they call it. It still guarantees the good properties they need, but it covers a broader class of noise types.
So widening the applicability. Smart. Right. Now, back to those growth terms, the drift B and diffusion. How exactly do they dictate stability or explosion, especially with that superlinear growth?
The paper lays out very specific requirements. Assumption 1.2, it's kind of technical, but the gist is, first, B and SA need to be well-behaved locally, not doing anything weird near zero. They call it locally Lipschitz and vanishing at zero. Standard stuff, mostly.
Okay.
Then the drift B can't grow too fast. It has to be controlled by another function, H, which itself must satisfy the infinite Osgood condition. Remember, finite Osgood often means explosion.
Right. So infinite Osgood means slower growth, controlled growth.
Exactly. It puts a speed limit on B. It can be superlinear, grow faster than you, but not outrageously fast.
And the diffusion term.
That also has a specific growth limit. It's tied to U, the solution value, that H function, and even a logarithm involving them. It's a pretty precise balance.
Sounds complex.
It is, but the payoff is significant. Their proof technique, using these things called exponential moment estimates, lets them allow faster growth than previous studies managed.
Faster growth for the noise interaction,
correct,
but still stable.
Exactly, both for bounded and unbounded domains. It's a real advance in understanding how much randomness these systems can handle.
Okay, so they found this sweet spot, this balance. What's the main result then, the headline finding of the paper?
The big one is theorem 1.7. It basically says, if you satisfy their condition on the noise, assumption 1.1, if your starting point is reasonable, initial data in Veit norm, and critically, if your drift, Brin, and diffusion oration obey those specific growth rules, especially the infinite Osgood condition for the drift.
The speed limit.
The speed limit, yeah. Then you get a unique global mild solution for the superlinear SHE on ART.
Meaning no blow-up.
Meaning no blow-up. The system remains stable, finite, forever, almost surely.
Wow.
And as a bonus, if a slightly stronger noise condition holds, the solution is also holder continuous.
Alchemy.
Smooth, well-behaved in space and time, no crazy jumps or sharp corners, just, you know, nicely continuous.
That's a really strong guarantee of stability.
Mm.
How on earth do they prove something like that for such messy systems? It seems daunting.
It's definitely not trivial. The core strategy uses something called a stopping time argument. It was pioneered for these problems by Salins, one of the authors.
Okay, stopping times.
Yeah, the idea is to imagine tracking when the solution size, that Veit norm, hits certain levels, say when it triples. You define these tripling times.
Right.
Then you need to show that the probability of these times happening really fast, one after another, leading to an explosion, is actually super, super small. So small, in fact, that the total probability adds up to something less than infinity.
Right. Like the odds get smaller and smaller.
Exactly. And those new exponential moment estimates are key here. They give really sharp bounds on these probabilities, even allowing for that faster growth in Varva. By showing the sum of probabilities is finite, they can use a powerful result from probability theory, the Borel-Kentelli lemma. It basically says if the total probability of bad events is finite, then only a finite number of them will ever happen almost surely.
Meaning it won't keep tripling fast enough to explode.
Precisely. It eventually stops happening. So the solution stays bounded globally.
It is clever.
Yeah.
So the Osgood condition seems central. You said for stability, the drift B needs that infinite Osgood condition.
Mm-hmm.
How do they show that's the right threshold, that it's optimal?
Good question. They tackle that with theorem 1.8, which is their explosion example.
The flip side.
Exactly. Mm. Here they show, look, if you take a drift B that does satisfy the finite Osgood condition, meaning it grows faster than the stability limit, and you have a bounded diffusions that goes to zero at zero, then for some starting conditions, the solution will blow up in finite time, not necessarily with probability one, but with positive probability.
So crossing that Osgood line for B really does risk explosion.
It confirms that the condition on B in the main theorem is sharp, it's optimal, you can't really relax it much more, and still guarantee stability across the board.
You mentioned positive probability for explosion, not probability one. Why the difference? I feel like I've heard probability one explosion before.
You probably have. Often, older results assumed the diffusion term sus was bounded away from zero, meaning there was always some minimum level of noise kicking the system around.
Okay.
In that case, the noise is strong enough everywhere to often guarantee explosion if the drift is too strong. Probability one. In their explosion example, SUF vanishes at zero. So if the solution gets close to zero, the noise kind of dies down too. It becomes degenerate. That lack of noise near zero means it can't force an explosion with certainty in all cases. But the risk is definitely still there, positive probability. And actually, this connects to a really interesting open question they mentioned. Yeah, finding the optimal condition on the diffusion term itself, the one that precisely determines explosion versus non-explosion, that's still an open problem. We know the condition on B is pretty much sorted, but the exact role of SUV in causing explosion is less clear.
Fascinating. Okay, let's make this a bit more concrete. These growth rates, these H functions involving logarithms, what do they actually look like? Can you give some examples?
Sure. The paper gives a nice table. The H function controlling the drift might look like U times log. Or even U times log. Or nested logarithm.
Yeah, log 3 log. They grow faster than U, but, you know, much slower than something like A squared or an exponential.
Okay, so controlled superlinear growth. Exactly. And then, depending on the noise properties, like is it space-time, white noise, and 1D, or something else, the diffusion can grow at related rates. For instance, under certain common noise conditions, they show can grow almost as fast as U times to the power 14 divided by the square root of log 2. It gets pretty specific.
My head hurts slightly. But the point is, they've pinned down these relationships.
They've pinned down relationships that guarantee stability, yeah. And importantly, these results are stronger than some previous ones, like work by Chen and Wang in 2023. This paper allows the drift B to grow faster than just U log U, as long as it fits under one of these more general Osgood-type H functions.
So progress, pushing the boundary.
Definitely. Although, there's a neat little nuance.
Go on.
In one specific case, when B grows no faster than U log U and logs like U to some power related to the noise, the older method from Chen and Huang might actually give a slightly better result for non-explosion than the techniques in this current paper. Yeah. It just shows that, you know, different proof techniques have different strengths. It's not always about one method being universally better. They're adding tools to the toolbox. Both are valuable.
That's a great perspective.
Yeah.
Okay, let's try and wrap this up. We've gone deep into these stochastic heat equations. We've seen this delicate dance between drift pushing towards infinity, diffusion smoothing things out, and noise adding chaos. And the Osgood condition acting as this critical measuring stick for the drift, telling us where that tipping point into blow-up lies. It really feels like we've gotten a glimpse into the engine room of these complex random systems.
Absolutely. And what I find really cool is how these, you know, seemingly very abstract mathematical conditions, these integrals, these logarithmic growth rates, actually translate into concrete insights about whether a system will be stable or fly off the handle.
Right.
Understanding that boundary, that's where the real value is. It shows how tiny changes in how a system grows or reacts can have really dramatic consequences down the line.
Yeah, makes you think, doesn't it? This whole deep dive, it wasn't just math formulas. It touches on fundamental questions about control, prediction, chaos, really. If tweaking a function slightly can cause blow up in a math model, what does that imply about, say, financial markets or climate systems or biological networks you might be interested in?
Maybe
it encourages us all to look a bit closer at the systems around us, question the assumptions about their stability. Are things really as stable as they seem?
It's a good point. Question those assumptions.
And there's still more to figure out, right? You mentioned that open problem about the optimal condition for the diffusion term causing explosion.
Exactly. And figuring out precisely which starting conditions might lead to explosion, even when stability is possible for others. Lots of interesting questions still out there.
So plenty more deep dives to be had in the future. We hope this gave you a good feel for this area of research. Thanks for joining us.